Hello and welcome, everybody. Episode 32 of the Bomber Brothers podcast, part of the Pinstripe Alley community of podcasts. Sean and Ryan here for another episode. Wait, wondering if it's spring training yet, but we're still just a week removed. A week today was when the World Series ended, and there's already some Yankee news to talk about. I would assume that not meant much of which made us particularly happy. Understandable moves, Sean, but the Yankees extend Chapman for 1 year, avoid his opt-out, also don't offer Didi Gregorius a qualifying offer, so already the wheels are turning on the 2019 offseason.
Yeah, I was refreshing, what was that, Friday night, Sunday night, whenever the qualifying offer deadline was? And
I don't remember.
Saturday night, I think it was.
Yeah.
Because yep. Sunday was my anniversary, and I told Dad it was a shitty anniversary gift to get Aroldis Chapman. Yeah, I woke up to the news of the extension, and honestly, it's just one extra year at $18 million, which is a baseball deal, probably pretty good when you look at what Kimbrel got from the Cubs. It's not a bad deal, but I just really don't like seeing him on the mound, and that is now going to happen for three more years unless something crazy happens. So that's not the best.
Yeah, anyone who's been listening to this podcast knows we're not the biggest fans of Chapman, the way he was initially acquired, being brought back, all that stuff. And that's not based on performance on the field, which obviously Chapman has been one of the elite relievers in the league for a number of years. And, you know, I used to be really concerned about his velocity dropping and worried that he'd probably become just an average reliever, but he's really developed that slider into a really, really good secondary pitch, obviously, except the one he threw to Altuve, which none of us will ever forget. But I definitely think he has the ability to remain elite now through these final years of this deal, even if his velocity does continue to trend downward, which it probably will. That's Father Time, and that never stops. But yeah, I think our frustration was merely from, you know, imagining him not on the team in closing games and just feeling a lot better about rooting for the Yankees personally. I think that was where my disappointment came in when I realized that the opt-out was avoided and he was being kept an extra year.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's not a bad contract, but it's just having him on the team is something that is tough to swallow. And I mean, we've been spoiled with having guys that are easy to root for. At the end of games, while Mariano was playing, it was very easy to go nuts when he came in. David Robertson, Betances, loved Andrew Miller as well. And now you have a guy that it's hard to – you can't personally root for him. So you just have to root for the team in the ninth inning. And then when he blows it, it gives you somebody to be mad at, and that's about it.
That's true.
The nice thing, and I didn't mean to cut in, but it seems now the bullpen's completely intact. There's no moves to be made for the bullpen for 2020. So we don't have to think about this offseason being about going and getting high-priced relievers because we have them all, and we're set there.
Yeah. So yeah, that's you cut into exactly what I was about to say. There is a little relief for me that the bullpen seems like it's intact for what it's going to look like next year, which is a really good bullpen. And it also means the Yankees don't have to spend this offseason looking to make their bullpen even more super duper. They can actually look at the rotation and other areas of need where we've known in the past they've been committed to throwing a lot of their allotted money at just more bullpen arms. But it seems like the bullpen's full now. So maybe, hopefully, not getting hopes up, but that money can go towards a big name starter to anchor the rotation.
I hope so. And I was actually, I think it was You Gotta Go to Mo or the Thought Leader on Twitter was examining something I noticed too. They have a ton of money coming off the books after next year. And making a big splash now, while it would hurt this year, next year it kind of gets evened out by losing the Ellsbury money. And while I hope they keep Tanaka, that contract does come off the books next year, and hopefully Jay Haps is off the books as well, because they have that vesting option. But yeah, they have some money coming off after next year. So hopefully with Chapman locked up, now they don't need to reinvest anything in the bullpen, and they can focus on using Ellsbury and, you know, some of Tanaka's money to go get Garrett Cole, who CC is recruiting heavily, it seems like.
Yes, our man CC doesn't stop working for the Yankees, even in immediate retirement.
But he also doesn't mince words. He, what did he say? Go pay him the most, or something like that.
Good. That's. I knew we loved CC for a reason. One of my favorite pitchers ever for a reason. He doesn't hold back on his podcast or wherever it may be, and that's. That's really what it comes down to, and I like that message. You know, he can relate to Cole being a West Coast guy who, you know, wound up playing the bulk of his career on the East Coast. But he's right. It also comes down to these players are trying to set themselves up and their families up for life, and that comes down to who's going to pay me the most and who's going to pay me what I'm worth. So, any. You know, homecoming storyline with the Angels or the Padres or other teams like that. If you're the Yankees on the other side of the country, you can get Garrett Cole if you pay him the most amount of money, which you're more than capable of doing because you're the Yankees and you have more money than any of these other teams. I think that's the frustrating part. And, you know, reading that stuff about CC's pitch just kind of reignites it for me, is the fact that it just goes back to the question Sweeney posed in the end of season presser. Like, all these pitchers that the Yankees passed on was just simply due to the fact that they didn't want to spend that much money, even though they were more than capable of doing it, and it would have put a minor dent in I think of like the Social Network at the end of that movie when Zuckerberg's lawyer urges him to just settle, and she says in the scheme of things it's just a speeding ticket because of how much money he's worth. And like that's what a contract to Garrett Cole would be.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And here's the exact quote from CC. It's just too good not to read. Me and Garrett Cole have spoken at length many times about me pitching as a Yankee, as a West Coast guy, Sabathia said. This is crazy. This is shaping out to be like the same offseason I had. I am speaking from experience. If you give that motherfucker enough money, you're going to have to mark this as explicit. Sorry. If you give that motherfucker enough money, he's going to want to come here, which is true. Just you got to pay him. That's the bottom line. And yeah. That's it.
And he's he'll like wherever that he goes. Contract.
And he was a Yankee fan as a kid.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, he's absolutely earned that contract. And it doesn't have to be him. It could be Strasburg too. I'd be plenty happy with either one. But yeah, we'll see what happens. I know I'm going to try not to complain about it every week. And
that definitely swept us up last offseason. And we were forced to eat some of those words because LeMahieu was absolutely fantastic. It was more the principle that we were upset about and just actively not going after the best players, because that's not a good look for a team like the Yankees. Not a good look for the league as a whole, which we can get to in a minute, but the Braves GM's comments earlier today, which Tony Clark was publicly not happy about, nor should he have been. But yeah, I mean, I guess real quick, just what did you think of that, what it could mean for the league? And unfortunately, in a couple of years, if we're still going with this podcast, we might need to be really scrapping for content because they might not be playing ball games.
Well, here's what Anthopoulos said. Every day you get more information, and we've had time to connect with 27 of the clubs. Obviously, the Astros and Nationals being in the World Series, they were tied up. But we had a chance to get a sense of what other clubs are going to do are going to look to do in free agency, who might be available in trades.
Why not just end that sentence with "we colluded"?
Yeah. Or you could just say we talked to other clubs about who's available in the trade market. Like, that could have been it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But obviously, obviously he let it go a little too far. And then, Tony Clark said the statements made by Braves GM call into question the integrity of the entire free agent system. The clear description of club coordination is egregious. And we've launched an immediate investigation into the matter. So, I mean, this is something else that we didn't talk about a lot last year, but I know a lot of people were noticing last year where there'd be like these random flurries of guys, like different tiers of free agents that would all sign at once. And it would just like happen over like 2 days and then it would stop. And then you get like another flurry 3 weeks later.
Yeah.
So it was almost like all the teams were, you know, let's wait. Okay, the prices have fallen. Let's all go get these guys. And it's I know it's not a total smoking gun because he does leave up some part of it can be left open to interpretation, but it's not a good look for the GMs who, you know, I think going into last offseason or in the middle of last offseason, we both kind of thought it was just owners tying up pockets. But then Mark Carrig, double podcast guest, wrote that awesome article about the belt that gets handed out to the GM that saves the most money or keeps costs down the most. And it's not just owners putting things on that. It's GMs as well.
Yeah. And I feel bad. I'm blanking on who wrote the other article for The Athletic, but it was a fantastic article. I'm really blanking on the name, but I will look it up later. But I think it was an article interviewing a lot of late free agent signings before the season started, and they were all basically like, yeah, it was the weirdest thing. My phone was and I was experiencing complete radio silence, and then out of nowhere I would get calls from multiple different teams at the same time giving me like ballpark offers in similar ranges. Am I completely making this up? Because I definitely remember reading that, and it was a really good article just basically showing like this weird trend through the off season.
Yeah. I don't know where it was from, but I do vaguely remember that. You're not making it up unless we both are making it up.
Well, yeah, so that's not a good look. That doesn't bode well for future negotiations when the CBA is up.
Yeah. I'm hoping MLBPA gets a little bit tougher because I feel like they've laid over way too much recently. And, it's time to take back some of that in the fight, and hopefully the owners will back down and realize that they're making so much money that it's not worth a work stoppage. But you know what? If they do, ticket prices will probably go down when they come back, and we can get ourselves a nice season ticket package or something. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I'm more looking fear as to that black hole. If there's no baseball, I wonder what the hell I'll do with my life. But
oh, it's been rough already, man. So
all right, well, I mean, that's a different discussion for a different day. It's a little further down the road. Right now we can touch on Didi as well, who wasn't given the qualifying offer from the Yanks. Doesn't mean he's gone. He can still come back as a free agent for presumably less money, because the Yankees clearly didn't think he was worth the qualifying offer. So, I mean, what's the outlook for Didi? This is kind of something I've been preparing for a while, pretty much since midseason, actually, when he came back, which sucks because obviously Didi's been my favorite Yankee, and has been the centerpiece of so many great moments and really easy to like in terms of how he is on social media and just being a really cool guy. But this is it's not looking good for Didi coming back.
I mean, just, you know, my favorite Yankee shortstop of all time, probably. No, I mean, in all seriousness, Didi was an awesome Yankee. Did a great job. Very Tino-esque and filling in for a legend, hitting a bunch of big homers for the team, and doing it all with a ton of competitiveness and class. And I know the door's not completely shut. They could always bring him back, but I feel like if they were going to do that, they would have worked it out. They would have worked it out already. So I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, I think we both know that we overrate Didi. Right. The on base percentage is not there. You know, it's good power, but the on base percentage is not there. And he's coming off a down year. But I would have given him the qualifying offer because it gives you a one year deal. It doesn't impact you the year after that. And if he bounces back, then you get, you know, one more year of his prime in a bounce back year. And if he doesn't, well, it's off the books in 1 year anyway. So, and it gives you that lefty bat. So I don't know. Do you feel comfortable with them moving with Torres at short, or do you think they're going to try to snag Lindor from the Indians?
I'd be comfortable with Torres as the everyday shortstop. That was his original natural position. He struggled there last year, but this year when he played shortstop, he seemed to fare much better. I forget the numbers right now off the top of my head, but I believe they reflected that. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I guess you go LeMahieu at second, Voit or Bird at first, and then third base, you got Urshela or Andujar battling it out there. So I just think with all those possibilities, Didi just, I don't know, it's his place kind of dissipated a little bit with Glaber emerging as a superstar, LeMahieu emerging as a what was expected to be an MVP candidate, but he wasn't didn't make that list.
Surprising.
Yeah, I thought it was surprising too. I mean, I don't think he has any business winning it. There's multiple other candidates, but I thought he was at least going to be a candidate. He had a spectacular season. But yeah, I mean, with all that said, I guess there just isn't. I guess the Yankees just believe there's not room for Didi, and it's looking like his Yankee career could be over, which is such a shame. But I mean, we have the 2017 wild card game, the 2017 ALDS game 5, so many times where he just came up huge.
Yeah, I am just, yeah, all big moments all the time. Grand slam this year in the division series. I think this is his last Yankee home run we got to see.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just think that I still think the 1 year deal would have been a good look, and it's sad to see him go, and it leaves a hole from a left-handed hitting perspective in the Yankees lineup.
Well, Bird's coming back, so
stop trying to bait me with that. I'm off the train right now.
Yeah, so that'd be a shame if they don't bring him back. Who knows? I mean, maybe
other teams. I don't even see him playing in the Dominican anymore.
Really? Oh, boy.
No. Oh, we'll see. I mean, I know he could rehab in Tampa again because the season's over, but who knows?
Well, get well soon, Bird.
I don't know. You know what? I feel like a lot of people are down on Voit, but he played like so hurt the second half of the year. In the first half, he was a monster.
Yeah, I'm confused if anyone's down on Voit. He showed no signs of regression through the first half of the season until he got hurt. I mean, there's a clear-cut line there, just like there was a clear-cut line with Paxton. He started off great. He hurt his knee. He went through a bad stretch. And then as the season wore on, he became one of the best pitchers in the league down the stretch. I just think his knee needed time to recover. I think there was a clear parallel there as well. But Voit, definitely. He was, and he's another guy, like you said about Didi, he has a low OBP, he doesn't work counts the way guys like Judge and Hicks do, so when those guys slump, they still are somewhat valuable because they can still get on base with their eye. And I think Voit's turning into a similar type of hitter that can work the count, and obviously has the power potential as well.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. The Red Sox, would you trade Benintendi for Voit if the Red Sox wanted to do that?
I watched Benintendi hit at Yankee Stadium, and I said,
that's what I'm talking about. Because I heard that they might try to move him so they could try to like save money for bets, and Voit is still early in his pre-arb years. Right, so
yeah,
just a thought.
Yeah, I mean the Red Sox can look at Voit and imagine him pounding balls off the Green Monster.
It's like the famed.
But where would the Yankees put him?
Benintendi?
Yeah,
put him left. Because if you lose Voit, then you open up DH. You play true. LeMahieu at first, or Andujar at first. Yeah, I don't think it is either. It's just something I thought of because I heard the name, and I'd love to get a nice big lefty bat in the lineup.
Yeah.
Well, how about Lindor? I mean, let's be honest. Yes, that'd be awesome. Nice switch hitter, especially with Hicks. But let's be honest. If the Yankees could do it over again, they wouldn't trade for Stanton, and they would sign Harper instead.
Yeah.
You think that's true?
I think if they would have wanted to do it over again, they wouldn't have traded for Stan and signed JD Martinez.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, there is one last bit of news, which I thought was very interesting. And
how long is this episode going to be? 10 minutes, by the way?
No, we're already at 20 minutes. Now all we have to do is talk about David Cone interviewing for the Yankees pitching coach job for another 10 minutes, and we're good.
That's awesome. I don't know if he's exactly advanced enough or what they're looking for, but I think if you hire two pitching coaches, like sort of like Ben Lindbergh talks about in the MVP machine, the Cone makes a great conduit.
Yeah, no, he does. I would love to see him eventually get one if he can continue down this path into, you know, the modern game that some front offices are looking for a pitching coach, because he still has that compliment of the fact that he's been out there. He can relate to those pitchers.
And David Cone is one of those guys, when he was on the mound, you knew you were getting a warrior, somebody who was just going to give everything, like an ultimate competitor, Max Scherzer level. And the guys respect that in the game, I think. I'm not sure, but I would think so. I'm sure Tanaka would respect that.
Oh, yeah.
James Paxton, after what he showed in Game 5, which we didn't really talk about that enough because of the way Game 7 ended, but that was a really cool moment to see James Paxton really dig deep that game and put forth that kind of effort. And that gives me a lot of hope for him going into next year, which, of course, is his walk year, so don't get too comfortable with him. Yeah. But anyway, I think Cone would make a really good pitching coach. I think he understands how players are in the game now. I think him writing this book allows him to reflect and probably has a really good perspective on what it takes to be a good pitcher, how data helps, right? I mean, he talked about that in his arbitration cases and his free agency. He wanted all the information he could get to prove to himself what makes him good. And, you know, selfishly, I kind of want to keep him on the broadcast because he goes with so much knowledge that
he's awesome.
Seems to be lacking from some people in the game.
Yeah, from a lot of people in the game.
But let's be honest. If Fox knew what the hell they were doing, they would have David Cone in that booth and not John Smoltz.
Yeah, I would love
David Cone likes baseball. Joe Buck. Yeah.
Because Joe Buck has actually grown on me. I've been watching a lot of 2009 World Series highlights just because, you know, we're mm-hmm. at the 10 years ago today, 10 years ago on this day, blah, blah, blah. And, I mean, mm-hmm. those calls were pretty brutal. But he has gotten a lot livelier and energetic, I feel like. And it's become a lot better.
Yeah, he went through that phase where he was pretty bland in the
2003 ALCS, my God.
It was all right.
Listen back to Posada's game-tying double.
Yeah, that's not great. But like he said, he changed his style. But I thought peak Buck was actually at the beginning, 96, 98.
Those were great too.
Yeah, now he gets a little too happy. Now he gets a little too nuts sometimes.
I like it though.
But I think he does a fine job. I don't have a problem with him. I don't think he's anti-Yankees. I think Smoltz is anti-Yankees.
Yeah, I never thought Buck was.
But I never think Joe Buck is. But no, I really like him. And if you put him with Cone, because Buck is actually really funny. I mean, we had the pleasure of going to his talk. And Cone's really funny, too. If you put them together, it'd be a fun booth. But, I mean, I don't think John Smoltz has a sense of humor.
I haven't heard it.
No.
All right.
Anyway. So you're down for Cone as the pitching coach? He's the only person we know of that's interviewed.
Yeah, I know. I mean, obviously seeing Cone coming out of the dugout in pinstripes would be awesome again. But like you said, I love Cone in the booth. I mean, I probably see the Yankees going to someone a little more immersed in the modern trends and strategies of the game. Mm-hmm. Kind of like, you know, what the Reds did in bringing in Kyle Boddy from Driveline. But I respect.
Well, don't the Yankees have somebody from Driveline or something that's in their system?
Yeah. But I mean, everyone who listens knows we love Cone for just going full bore into this age of advanced data as an old school pitcher. I think is awesome and really open minded and if he doesn't get it, I'm just gonna love having him in the booth still.
Where is Cohn on your in your list of favorite Yankee starters of all time?
Favorite Yankee starters
of your lifetime. Whenever I say all time, I kind of mean your lifetime because
my lifetime wouldn't even be in my ranking because how could they be?
Yeah.
Well, my top five I already know is Pettit, Cohn, CeCe, Tanaka, and El Duque.
That's good. I like that order too.
I don't even know if that is the order, but those are my five. I would probably put CeCe first.
Really? Above Pettit?
Yeah, I love CeCe's.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, I would do what you said. Pettit, Cohn, CeCe. Who else did you say?
Pettit, Cohn, CeCe, Tanaka, El Duque.
Tanaka, El Duque. Yeah, I'd probably put Moose at number six.
Yeah, me too.
I liked Clemens a lot, like, after 2000. Like, once he started doing roids again, it was really fun. Like, 2001, he was really good.
He was really good in 2002, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Or 99.
Yeah, he was. But, like, it was more fun. Like, I felt like he started to fit in with the team after he won the second championship. Like, he still felt kind of like a weird outsider in 99 and 2000 a little bit.
Yeah.
But.
No, Clemens was fun to watch. When that splitter was working, like, I mean, it was Tanaka's on steroids.
Yeah, it literally was.
Yeah.
On steroids. But I was there for his 4,000 strikeout and 300th win.
Yep.
Not even the biggest moment of that game.
Wow, because what, Tino?
It was Tino's return with the Cardinals. Yeah. And I got a foul ball at that game. Don't listen to what Dad tells you.
All right, I guess that's it.
Jeez, this is like the length of an episode of The Office. We should have came up with a gimmick. We're gonna have to start reviewing the World Series videos, doing like binge mode from The Ringer on the World Series videos, analyzing each of the fans that get shown on the screen.
Yeah.
We have a field day with the Braves fans.
Yeah, some of the outfits they wore in 96 at Fulton County
Stadium. Those tie-dye shirts?
Yeah.
You know those two guys that have, like, the matching tie-dye shirts?
Yep.
And then the one Yankee fan that has, like, a gray jersey and says Deer Park across it? Yeah. I never got that.
I don't know. Maybe that was, like, his men's league jersey or something, which would be a cool jersey.
Well, isn't Pettit from Deer Park?
I don't know.
Yeah, no.
All right, well, what are you looking forward to this week?
Oh, God, I don't know. Let's see. I already went to the movies tonight, so that's out. Jeez, I'm not really looking forward to anything. That's
me
horrible.
Me neither. My fiance is coming back from vacation, so I'm excited to see her. So there you go. There's mine.
I'm coming home. Well, you can't even get excited about the Knicks.
No, they lost by 20 tonight to the Pistons. That was rough.
Yeah.
Devils are coming back, though.
I saw. Rangers are winning tonight, too, but they stink. I don't know. I'm not looking forward to anything, man. There's nothing good going on this weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, no. This is a lie. I am looking forward to something. On Tuesday, which will be before we record again, Disney Plus goes live.
Oh,
I already have
my
subscription, so I'm going to watch The Mandalorian on Tuesday.
Yes. Yeah, me too.
And it's supposed to, like, rain and snow, so it'll be a good day, good night to stay home after work and just binge The Mandalorian.
Yes, I'm definitely going to do that too.
So I'm looking forward to that.
I won't change my answer because then if...
Yeah, you can't now. Once you put that as a potential option, you're... So, cool. I mean, that's it. There's really nothing going on. The Nationals parade was pretty wild.
Yeah, so is seeing them all shirtless at the Caps game later on. They definitely know how to party in D.C. They learned from Ovechkin, so.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, both Washington teams that have won have been really fun to watch win. Like, I mean, even though I'm a Rangers fan, I really, really like Ovechkin.
Yeah, oh, me too.
And I really like Scherzer and Doolittle. And Rendon. So it was really cool to see them win, and Soto's fun to watch too. And they seem to have a good time with it too.
Yeah, that, it's a spoiled city right now. Can't forget the Mystics either. They won the WNBA title.
Oh, true. There you go. All right, well, I mean, I guess that's all I got.
All right, well, guess that wraps it up for this week. Hopefully there's more news to talk about. If not, we're in real trouble if this is how we fared today. But we'll still stick through it, and we hope everyone else will, and we'll talk to you next week with hopefully some new Yankees news.
I hope so. See you later, everybody.